Now let's talk about some of the differences between men and women and how these differences often lead to misunderstandings and breakdowns in the communication that is so important to our mental health and happiness. First of all, men and women are distinctly different from each other. In the practical, material world, they may have similar goals and objectives, but in the personal, subjective world, men and women have distinctly different motivations, desires, instincts, and ways of looking at life and relationships. Some of these are obvious, and some of these are not so obvious. In order to survive and thrive with members of the opposite sex, it's very helpful for us to appreciate some basic elements. Men, for example, have a tendency to be more direct, more practical, and more left brain or linear in their thinking. They have more of the hormone testosterone, and as a result, they tend to be more aggressive in their orientation toward life. Men tend to be more competitive and job-oriented, continually comparing their achievements with those of other men. Men tend to identify very strongly with their work and to tie up much of their self-concept in their occupations. The extreme version of this tendency, of course, is called the type A personality. The type A personality is so caught up in his work that he gives very little thought to anything else. He feels like he is on a treadmill or in a rat race. He has what has been called a harrying sense of time urgency. He has more and more to do and less time in which to do it. He seldom, if ever, takes a vacation, and if he does, he takes his work along with him. He is extremely aggressive and hostile to those he feels he's competing with, even with his family if they want more of his time. He has an obsession with his boss and is continually talking about what the boss did and said and what the boss might be thinking. The true type A male, the extreme case, becomes more thing-oriented than people-oriented and begins to take his personal and family relationships for granted. He has what is called the compulsive negative habit pattern, which is rooted in a deep-seated fear of rejection and a feeling of unworthiness that goes back to having experienced conditional love from his father. He strives to get the approval from his work and his boss that he felt he never got unconditionally from his father when he was growing up. The type A's preoccupation with his work becomes a major flashpoint at home because it simply does not seem rational or reasonable to his wife. He often says that he's doing what he's doing for the sake of his wife and children, but they disagree and wish that he worked less and spent more time with them. Men in general are very much into closure or completion. Lack of completion is very stressful for them. They are most interested in discussing situations where there are clear conclusions or resolutions, and their conversations are often oriented toward goals and objectives, toward finishing things and getting things done. Men also have a tendency to be simple and direct and largely uncomplicated in their thinking. They tend to think and talk in terms of facts and conclusions. Any woman listening to this will immediately recognize that her way of thinking is very different from what I've just described. To begin with, women have a richer, more complex, and more interesting inner life. They're aware of far more details and subtleties and nuances than men are. They see more possibilities and ramifications and consequences in a given situation than does the male of the species. If men tend to be direct, women tend to be indirect. Women are more subtle and roundabout in their approach to people and situations. If a woman is having a problem with someone, she thinks of the various ways that the subject could be approached so as to win the cooperation of the other person and to not make waves. A man in the same situation would tend to deal with the problem or person directly. Now, either approach might be successful depending upon the circumstances, but the evidence is that women are more successful than men in dealing with complex interpersonal situations. Women tend to be more emotional, more intuitive, more sensitive, and more aware of how other people are thinking and feeling than men are. Women tend to organize their lives around their relationships, around both their family and their friends. They're much more sensitive to and affected by problems and relationships than men are. Here are some examples that illustrate the differences between men and women in the way they see the world. A husband and wife fly to Orlando and rent a car with the intention of driving south to Miami. They get on the freeway, and she's the navigator, looking at the map and the road signs. He's unfamiliar with the roads, and suddenly she sees a sign that indicates that they are heading north toward Jacksonville. She asks him, "Honey, is Miami on the road to Jacksonville?" He says, "No, Jacksonville is in the opposite direction." She says, "Well, we just passed the sign saying that we are heading toward Jacksonville." "Never mind," he says, "we're making great time." The tendency of the typical man is to step on the gas and go faster when he finds himself on the wrong road, while the tendency of the woman is to stop and think about where she is and where she wants to go. Another example of the differences between men and women is with regard to shopping. When a man and woman go shopping together, all he wants to do is to get it over with before the walls close in around him. All she wants to do is to use shopping as an opportunity to communicate. When she shows him a blouse and asks his opinion, she is inviting dialogue. Instead, he says, "It looks great. Go ahead and get it." After a couple of hours of shopping, a woman may not have purchased anything. He will probably be tearing his hair out by this time, and she will then suggest that they have coffee or lunch. He is still looking around and seeking some way to achieve closure or completion in this process, and until the shopping trip is over, the typical man will be uncomfortable and feel a little bit like a fish out of water. The difference here is that men are simple and direct and want completion, whereas women are complex and subtle and are quite content to simply enjoy the process. Here's another example showing the difference between men and women. A couple is on a motor trip, and they've been on the road for 2 or 3 hours. As they drive down the highway past a McDonald's, she turns to him and says, "Honey, are you thirsty?" Without looking around, he simply replies, "Nope," and continues driving. After a while, he notices that she is not talking, and when he asks her what's the matter, she replies, "Nothing." In her indirect way, she was saying that she was thirsty and was suggesting that they stop. In his direct way, he was simply replying to her question and continued driving. His mind was on the destination, on completing the trip, and he was completely unaware that she was thirsty and that she wanted to stop. And by the way, when a man asks, "What's the matter?" and a woman replies, "Nothing," it is a very clear sign that something is the matter, and if the man is smart, he will pick up this signal and go to work to find out what it is. Because women are indirect, they tend to be better listeners and more sensitive to relationships than men. According to Cosmopolitan magazine, men are 94% more likely to interrupt a woman who is speaking than a woman is to interrupt a man. When a man interrupts a woman, he is making a big mistake. Not only is he telling her that he doesn't take her seriously, but he is also devaluing and diminishing her as a person. By not respecting her when she is speaking, he is unwittingly attacking her self-respect. And we know that whenever our self-respect or self-esteem is assaulted in any way, we have a tendency to counterattack. We often become angry and defensive and strike back in whatever way we can. This is just another example of the law of reciprocity in action, and it governs almost all relationships. For men, one of the best ways to keep the channels of communication clear is to come home at night and to resist the temptation to tell her everything about his day. Instead, he should ask her about her day. He should ask her what she did and where she went and who she spoke to and what happened as a result. He should encourage her to explain her entire day before he goes on to tell her about his day. This simple exercise of turning the standard tables of conversation will go a long way to enhancing the quality of the relationship. It's amazing how interesting her day has been and how much more enjoyable their relationship will be when they continue to share in this way. And by the way, I've never met a woman who wouldn't gladly throw the television set in the trash can if it meant that TV watching time would now be spent communicating with her and interacting with the family. Here's another common occurrence which shows the difference between the needs and expectations of men and women. The woman tells the man about a problem she is having in her work. He immediately goes into problem-solving and a closure mode. He asks her a couple of questions about the situation, and then he says, why don't you do this, or you should just do that. What he doesn't realize is that when she tells him of her problem, she does not necessarily want him to propose a solution at all. The problem is merely presented as an opportunity to talk. She has presented the problem as a device to trigger a dialogue so that the couple can communicate. If he gives her a quick solution, then she will feel frustrated, and he won't even know what's happened. The very best thing that a man can do in a relationship is to listen and to ask questions like, "Why do you feel that way?" The very best thing that a woman can do is to realize that men deal with things differently from women and to take that into consideration. Remember, the most important thing in the world is love. First, self-love, then love of others, then love of one other person with whom you can establish a deep and lasting relationship. Out of loving and being loved arises a wonderful feeling of self-confidence that gives you the courage to attempt things that you might never have thought possible. Knowing that you are truly loved and that you have earned it and that you deserve it saves you an enormous amount of time and energy and allows you to focus on making your life into a wonderful experience. Your willingness and your ability to do everything necessary to enter into a long-term fulfilling relationship with another person is the true measure of how you're doing as a human being. And you can never have more love for yourself than the amount that you can express to another person. Every time you think and act in a loving way, your own self-love and self-confidence goes up. Love is by far the most important thing of all. And if you do the things that other loving people do, you will enjoy the same feelings and the same results.